Hello, Honey Rich family, and everyone else who might be virtually visiting us today. It's a great pleasure to join you again for another time in the Word, with the intention of seeking to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned some of the projects I've been working on, and if you're interested, I'm pleased to inform you that my progress on my juggling is coming on nicely, but I've run out of cement for my kitchen countertops, so basically I still haven't finished anything. Today we are continuing from where Colin left off yesterday in the context of James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4, where James challenges us to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials or suffering. And if you're well-churched, this may not have come as a surprise to you because you've heard it many times, but perhaps the situation you find yourself in today brings new light on the matter and you are seeing it again for the very first time while you are really going through various trials. I certainly am, and lockdown has left me and 15 other people in my business without an income and little chance of seeing work coming in for the next 2 months at best. And bringing things closer to home, last week my grandmother and the matriarch of our family on her 86th birthday was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I caught a glimpse of the feeling Job has as the messengers ran to him with their news, each bringing greater and heavier bad news. If you're anything like me, your response to all this is a simple question. What do I do now? James, with his practical insight, knew this and addressed it directly after his mind-expanding instruction to consider our trials with all joy. So let's read today's passage from verse 5 through to 8. I'm reading from the ESV. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is tossed and driven by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Roger Ellsworth's devotional commentary on James, which we are using to guide our study over this month, summarizes the core of this passage in three logically consecutive points. Firstly, trials demand wisdom, which we see in verse 5. And secondly, wisdom demands prayer, which we also see in verse 5. And then prayer demands faith, which we see expanded in verse 6 and 8, or 6 through to 8. As usual, let's go into the text and unpack things a little bit. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wisdom is a pretty big deal in the Bible. There are 5 whole books of the Old Testament that are classified as books of wisdom. We've got Job, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. But what is wisdom? Well, opposed to knowledge, which is a collection of facts, wisdom is the right use of what we know for daily living. Knowledge is theoretical, wisdom is practical. We should be asking God for wisdom in every circumstance of life. This is something I remember as one of the earliest things I repeatedly prayed for with conviction from like the age of 6 or 7. And I can't remember exactly why it was something I felt so in need of godly wisdom. But I must have felt then, as I do now, that it is something that I'm constantly lacking. We never need more wisdom more earnestly than when we are facing difficulties and trials of various kinds. Ellsworth compares wisdom with that of driving cars. I can have a great knowledge of cars and how they work and still be a terrible driver. Conversely, we can have very little knowledge on how a car operates and still expertly handle it. Life is a lot like driving a car. As we are going along, suddenly someone darts out in front of us or a huge pothole appears, and in those situations, which are pretty much driving basics for us in Joburg, we have to know how to respond in such a way that we can preserve our lives and the lives of others. The trials and difficulties of life are much like the other driver who pulls in front of us or the potholes in the road. For while we are driving along the road of life, we need godly wisdom to respond to the trials that come. We need to know how to respond in such a way that we do not encourage a mistaken understanding or notion of what Christianity is about. We need to know how to respond in such a way that we do not dishonor God. And we need to be able to respond in such a way that we don't discourage our fellow Christians. As Christians, we often drive our car of faith into the dongo when a trial pops up and we react badly, rather than responding with godly wisdom in that situation. And we need wisdom because we don't come pre-installed with it in our Adam 0.1 operating system. So we see our need for wisdom, but how do we find this wisdom for facing our trials? James provides the answer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That includes all of us. No one is sufficient in and of himself to face the trials of life, but the Lord is sufficient for all his people. And so the remedial instruction is simple. Pray and ask God. We're once again called to the importance of prayer. This is probably the easiest time of life to pray when we are facing trials. Even non-believers find themselves wanting to pray to somebody when disaster strikes. The question James puts before us here has to do with what we are praying about. Generally, we pray for the trial to be over, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. But has it occurred to us to be praying for wisdom in the trial? How often do we ask God to help us handle our trials in such a way that we will bring glory to him and leave a positive impression on those around us? James approaches a glorious promise to his plea for prayer. He says that God gives to all liberally and without reproach. To say that God gives liberally is to say that God is generous. He's not a tight-fisted God who delights in withholding blessings from his people. Without reproach means that God gives without finding fault, and that's a great comfort to me. One of the amazing things about God is that he knows how weak we are, he knows how difficult life is for us, and he understands why we struggle, and he doesn't find fault with us. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is tossed and driven by the wind. So after telling his readers to ask God for wisdom, James emphasizes the importance of doing so in faith. To ask God in faith is to ask without doubting. James likens the doubting person to one who is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The biblical symbolism associated with sea is chaos and disorder. James adds to this picture by calling such a person double-minded in verse 8. We see that the man who is struggling with two minds, the one mind tells him to trust God, but as soon as he resolves to do so, the other mind pops up and points him to this all his problems and suggests that they are too great even for God to sort out. So go back and forth between God and the problems is chaos. We must then pray in faith. What does it mean to pray in faith? Do we think that it means we pick out something that we want God to do and then we psych ourselves up to believe that he will actually do it? This kind of faith is the same as positive thinking. Only happy thoughts, people. And with this kind of definition in place, many are left disappointed and angry with God. They wanted God to do something. We asked him to do it, and we were really convinced that he would do it. And then it didn't happen. Here, the problem is not with God, rather it's with our mistaken understanding of what faith is. Faith is not believing that God will do whatever we want him to do. Rather, it's believing that God will do what he has promised to do. In this passage, James gives us a distinct promise. He tells his readers that God will give them wisdom for handling their trials if they will ask him in faith. In other words, if they will believe and not doubt God's promise to give them wisdom, they will receive that wisdom when they ask for it. And many of us fail in the asking part, and others ask but do not believe. We must both ask and believe, and this is the promise, that God will grant us the wisdom we need. We may not feel as if we're getting that wisdom. We usually don't feel while we're in the situation, But as time passes and we look back on the situation, we're often able to see that God did indeed give us wisdom, which we asked for. But even if we never understand our trial, even if we never feel perfected or see growth from a trial, or if our trial never ends, from the shores of eternity, we'll be able to finally see everything clearly. And when we do, we will see that God answered more of our prayers than we ever thought at the time. And we will see that he gave us more wisdom in those times than we realized. So how do we find encouragement when we ask and seek to have faith, but still feel like this is not enough? Romans 10 verse 17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ." More and more, it's just been such an encouragement for me to be able to come through at this time and be encouraged by the word of Christ. Wherever I find myself in the word, there's always encouragement. There's always a arrow pointing up towards Christ and to our hope that we have in him. So as we part today, I challenge you to meditate on the following two questions. What promises has God given us that we can hold on to in times of trial, and that will come directly from his word? And what can you do to improve your prayer life? Let's pray. Oh, glorious Heavenly Father, you are worthy of all praise and glory and honor and fame. The whole earth proclaims your majesty. There's nowhere we may go where we cannot see the works of your hands and see your glory. As we look up to the sky at this time of year in the Highfold Autumn, the brilliant blue sky pours forth your praise, as do the diversity of birds that contrast in it. We thank you for the time that we've been able to spend in your word. We thank you for the promise that you will be with us as we go through trials, and that the trials we go through are being used by you to test our faith and produce in us perseverance, making us complete and more in the likeness of Christ. Thank you for the wisdom you promised us through your word. Please give us the humility we need to be able to ask for it in faith and dependence on you. Renew our minds and help us to see our trials in the light of eternity, that we may consider our afflictions as pure joy, that we may live our lives in ways that are pleasing to you. In your wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.